Stand with me. Let's read together tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And 62% were filled with the Holy Ghost. As it is with the assemblies of God, 17% were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that in the King James. I hope that's what you got. I still, like Brother Brankle, I believe in the Living Bible, the King James Version. Say amen. It doesn't even say that 78% were filled. But it said 100% of the people in the upper room when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spake in tongues. They spake with other tongues as God gave the utterance. There's some people that believe, yeah, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you don't have to speak in tongues to have it. Woo. Did you feel that, Steve, over there where you were? I'm going to preach, but I'm just going to share a minute. To help you to go ahead and get good and mad at me before I preach. So that you have to pray through. You at least got to come to the altar to ask God to forgive you for having murder in your heart. If you haven't spoken tongues, you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whew. It's the difference in real preachers and them that ain't real preachers. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to seek the baptism tonight. But if you say you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will be evidence initially. The first thing that will happen is you'll speak in tongues as God gives the utterance. Amen. If you haven't spoken in tongues, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of them spake in tongues. Amen. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? I can tell you what that meant. That meant that a brand new Pentecostal church had just been born in the upper room. And that Pentecostal church, as it began to grow in its infancy and its young adult, I can tell you that church began to evangelize the entire world with the power of full message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and Christ resurrected. I want you to know, glad tidings, oh my, wrong church. Five Away Assembly of God, Pace Assembly. I'm tired. Amen. I want you to know that if we're going to evangelize the world, we're going to do it with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you pray for Brother McDonald tonight? I want to preach to you the spreading flame of Pentecost. Father, we love you tonight. Come on, lift your voices and help me pray. God, we love you, Jesus. Father, tonight I know you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, I pray that tonight you would just simply begin to bring us into one mind, Lord. God, I would pray tonight that there be an upper room outpouring in this place. Hallelujah. God, we fought the enemy all day long. This church has fought him all week long. But Lord, I'm in this pulpit. I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. I feel, Lord, the wind of the Spirit of God blowing in this house, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, tonight to begin to pour out upon us, Lord, as you did in the day you poured out your Spirit in that upper room. I pray that tonight, God, that there would be men and women in churches. I pray that there would be pastors of churches that would absolutely be again reborn in the fire of Pentecost. I pray, Lord, those pastors that are weary in well-doing, I ask you, Jesus, to renew them. I ask you, God, to refire us, oh God, again tonight. The saints of the living God, I pray that Jesus, you would put a hunger and a desire in them like never before. I pray that Jesus, when we get into the altar service in just a little while, that God, there'd be people filled with a baptism for the first time. There'd be people refilled. God, there'd be people overflowing with the Spirit of God. We need that anointing, God. Oh, I pray, God, let Pentecost again arise and stand on her feet, Lord, the church. God, a Pentecostal church. Lord, too long we've laid in the bed of slumber. Too long we've sat in the chair, Lord, of doing nothing. But God, I know, Lord, that you're calling us to stand and to be that church and witness one last time before the rapture. I pray, God, move in this house. Give us every word directly from your throne. And God, we give you all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody that loves the Lord shouted amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. The book of Acts has been called the action book of the New Testament. The authorized missionary manual of the church. Amen. The Acts of the Apostles. What the cradle was to Christ. Amen. The upper room was to the church. The church was born and infused with a dynamic for world evangelization. Amen. The reason that there is a Pentecostal church is because the Lord knows that there's lost men and women that need to be born again. Amen. That is the purpose. Amen. Of the Pentecostal church. And that is evangelization. There's other purposes of the church, but I can tell you we're going to focus on what our job is tonight. Amen. There's many things that needs to be done before the coming of the Lord. There's no prophecy to be fulfilled, but there's 2,000 million people or 2 billion people that needs to hear Jesus' name mentioned at least one time. Are you hearing me? Amen. How many times have you heard preaching? How many times have you heard the name of Jesus mentioned since you were a child? Amen. I can tell you we've lost count. Every one of us, we've lost count of it. But there's people tonight that have never heard his name mentioned, not even one time. I can tell you, friend, there is a mandate for the Pentecostal church, and that is that those souls that's never heard his name, not only do they hear his name, but they call on his name and are saved by the power of God. In reality, this is a book of acts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The book of Acts of the Apostles in your Bible, it's really a book of the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It wasn't any acts that the apostles did. They were simply vessels that the anointing flowed through. Amen. They were no more, amen, spiritual than you and I if you're saved and living a holy life and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're no more spiritual than you and me. Amen. I can tell you there's nothing any greater about Peter than it was Brother Baker. Amen. There's nothing any greater about Paul than Brother Sullivan. Amen. It's simply that they allowed themselves to be filled with an anointing, and that anointing began to change their life and their life purpose. That's what God is wanting to do to His church. That's what He's wanting to say to His church. Amen. Don't just be a church, but be a vessel. Come on here. Don't just be a group of people that sit together, sing together, worship together, but be a vessel that I can pour something real through so that this world can be changed. Amen. In reality, this is a book of the Holy Ghost, as I said, even inasmuch as it only mentions four apostles, Peter, John, James, and Paul. And there's some points about the book of Acts you need to know. There's three key words, even, or three things you need to see in the book of Acts. Number one, amen, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first thing that happened in the book of Acts is that Jesus ascended in Acts 1 and 11. He had ascended to the clouds, and those men were standing up looking, watching Jesus ascend. The angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that is going up in like manner, He's going to come again." Oh my. On Friday night, if I preach something like that, you ought to be shouting. Amen. I said the angel declared to the men that were standing there looking at Jesus, "Ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing? That same Jesus that you ate with, the same Jesus that fed the 5,000, the same Jesus that opened blinded eyes, the same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead, it won't be long in like manner. He's coming back again." That is a promise in the Word of God. We ought to get excited about it. Number two, amen, you notice that right after that Jesus ascended, the second thing is there is a descension. Amen. The Holy Ghost coming down, descending back in the upper room. Amen. Jesus said, "If I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter." Amen. And then the third thing you see in the book of Acts, amen, is an extension, or the church going out in the entire world. There was an ascension, a descension, and then an extension. That's the book. Amen. The whole thing in a nutshell. All of those other things that happened, they were things that empowered the church to do what they needed to do. The church for the first century, it evangelized that entire known world with the good news of the gospel of the Lord, Jesus Christ. However, each generation has had the responsibility that same first generation church had. And the world that we're living in today, over half, amen, almost half of the population has never heard the name of Jesus. Amen. You can't tell me we can't tell them about Jesus. Even that first generation didn't have internet. They didn't have radio. They didn't have television. They didn't have missionaries that were paid to go into foreign lands, flown in with jets. They had none of that. But what they did have was a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Ghost of heaven. And that power will make men and women come to know God. Amen. Why can't we reach them now? I'm asking you the question, why can't we? Even the still most effective witness that we have, amen, is a witness of word of mouth. You tell somebody what Jesus did for you. You tell your friend what Jesus did for you. Amen. I've told you all week, I'm preaching simple Bible way. You need to understand that the way to grow a Pentecostal church, any church that's here tonight, the way to grow a Pentecostal church is not to wait on the preacher to get out and knock doors. It's wait for yourself. Get up off of that stool of do nothing. Get out of that bed of laziness and get up and say, "You know what? Jesus did something for me. I've got to tell somebody." Say amen. More than half the population has no witness of the gospel. That's to our own shame. Even then, that these are the days to intensify every effort and extend our reach in the final task of the global witness. Each tongue must be set on fire with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that in that first generation church, whenever that they got saved, it was an automatic question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In Acts chapter 19, Paul coming to the coast of Ephesus, he came across some believers. They greeted one another, and in that day they would greet each other. He meant in the name of Jesus. I greet you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He meant it was a collecting point. It was a place where they would even connect together. He meant and say, I'm a Christian. When Paul heard the name Jesus, even he knew the most important thing was, since Jesus had ascended, was have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen, church. I want to tell you, in the Pentecostal church today, that is a can become the most important question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In the Assemblies of God, as I said, 17% have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Of our complete membership. Amen. That's members. I can tell you, in the other movements, they'll tell you it's better, it's worse. But I'm here to tell you as a whole, the United States of America included, this world has been already watering down this thing to the point where that it's almost of none effect in many areas. But now then, in Brazil, there is a movement going on. The Assemblies of God growing like wildfire. They told me just last week, you can drive to Brazil or you can fly to Brazil and drive on a bus. You'd be on that bus. You can't sit on a bus any longer than 15 minutes and without having a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, without somebody telling you how to get saved. We can ride for 15 hours on a plane or a bus and never mention His name. There's something wrong with our experience. We need the fullness of the Holy Ghost again. Say amen. Oh my. We need to be about the master's business. Pastors, amen, I can tell you, I've said this before to pastors. I've learned one thing in preaching. On Sunday night, you've done got that message preached on Sunday morning. You're out there in that office begging God for something to preach on Sunday night. Let me give you the answer. Amen, there's four cardinal doctrines. You can't find nothing. These four always work. Amen, the four cardinal doctrines of the church, that is salvation. Number two, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number three, divine healing. And number four, the rapture. Just rotate them every Sunday night. I can tell you, you'll get people saved. You'll get people healed. You'll get people delivered. And you'll get people ready for the rapture of the church. Say amen. Oh my. We need to get back to the basics again. What built the Pentecostal church in the beginning will still build the Pentecostal church today. Amen. You say, I've heard that before. I heard that message in the 60s. I heard that message in the 50s. I'm here to tell you, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that will not change. His plan will still work. Amen. Acts, the book of Acts, it fills the space between the gospel accounts of Christ and the writing of the final books of the Bible. There's some contrasts you need to know about in the book of Acts. Amen. In the Gospels, the Son of Man offered His life. In the book of Acts, the Son of God offered His power. In the Gospels, the original seeds of Christianity are seen. In Acts, we see the continual growth of the church. In the Gospels, we have Christ crucified and risen. In Acts, we have the same Christ ascended and exalted. In the Gospels, we have a model of what the Christian life ought to be. In the book of Acts, we see it lived out in the arena of life. Even we're at that place where that we can know that this that we have, it'll work in the workplace. It'll work on the job. It'll work on the school. It'll work everywhere. If you get full of the Holy Ghost, God will empower you to be a witness wherever you are. Say amen. The last days it's promised that a latter rain outpouring is coming. I can tell you right now, this entire world ain't going to get saved. This entire world ain't going to become one big wholeness church. It will never happen. But I can let you know this, all over this world, there will be a holy people that are living according to the Word of God. They might be speaking Mandarin Chinese. They might be in a house in Russia. They might be in Africa. They might be in Brazil or in America. But you can know this very thing. He'll have a remnant out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. God will have a people. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that people. I want to live it like it says in the Word of God. Amen. Then the last days there will be an outpouring. Man cannot stop the outpouring of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about it, Pentecostal church. Man cannot stop it. All he can do is keep himself from receiving it. Amen. Man can't make it not happen. He said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters, they're going to prophesy. Young men, they'll see vision. Old men, dreams. Amen. You know what? I've learned this very thing. There's people that's been in the house of God. They've served the Lord for years. They've watched this thing grow up. They've watched it grow out. They've seen all these things. And in the last days, they just seem to have forsaken. Taken it. They've just thrown it down. They said, it's not that important anymore. I've seen men that once preached like I preach. I've seen men that once believed like I believe. Throw this thing down. But you know what? When they threw it down, I saw some young boys that didn't know what to do, but they got hungry for the real. They picked it up. God made them a firebrand, and He used them to change the world. He used them to change the world. Did you realize that in China tonight, the leaders of the Three Self Church, amen, you'd think that'd be old Chinese men, beards hanging down to here, amen, little thin mustaches coming down. You'd think that'd be the leader of that Chinese church. I'm telling you, it's not. Amen. Do you know the leaders of that Chinese church are young ladies anywhere from the age of 16 to about 20, 22 years old. They are the leaders. They're the presbytery. They're the leaders of that entire church. Millions of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what those young ladies are doing? I told you about the book on Monday night. I just got from Brother Clendenin. They've decided that the call of China is to take the gospel back all the way to Jerusalem. Amen. You know what? We've got fat men, amen, sitting in high offices that claim to have the Holy Ghost, and they're doing absolutely nothing. So God said, I'll take a little China girl and I'll send her across this globe with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'll empower her and drive devils out in front of her. God will use a vessel that'll be open to Him. Don't you worry about what you look like or how old you are. God's looking for a vessel that will simply say, I'll let that anointing flow all the way through. Amen. I can tell you this church is a supernatural birth. Amen. 2 years around here, by the way. Amen. There was something supernatural happen in Baldwin County. Amen. Whenever, amen, he called me, your pastor, he said, I feel the Lord. Amen. He's leading me into a direction. He said, I'm just searching out exactly where I need to go, what I need to do. Amen. I can tell you, the pastor in me, there's a little bit of scrap in me, I can tell you that. Or else I wouldn't be over there still in Texas, I can tell you now. Amen. He said, I've resigned my church. And that little fight in me said, my goodness, you had that thing around the ears. Why are you giving up on it? Amen. I'm just being honest. Well, he said, I felt the Lord. Amen. I did not know God's plan. I can't say for Him what God's supposed to do. I'm just knowing what God's doing in me. Someone now, say amen. Amen. He said, I'm going to preach a little bit, find the mind of God. Amen. He came out to Texas, preached. Some of you remember that. Preached for about a month out there. Amen. There's some people over here said, you know what? There's something that God put in us. The Lord put it in our spirit. Amen. to use a word Brother Clendon and says, He impregnated us with something. There's something that's got to be given birth to. There's something that's got to happen. Amen. These people got together. You got to remember where you came from, by the way. Amen. Remember what happened. Amen. Those years ago, and that was given birth to. It happened right here. You've worried, what's it going to do? I can tell you, I've never seen a good mother or a good father forsake their child. And by the way, you're a part of the plan of God. You're the seed of Christ. He'll give you what you need, and that is the anointing to evangelize this part of the world. Oh, you hold on. God just wants a church, amen, to do what it's supposed to do. Amen. Pastors, he's not worrying whether or not you get everything just right. How many knows we've had camp meetings with bare wood up here this week? Come on now. That hadn't bothered me one bit. Has it bothered you? Amen. Every time I come, this platform's in a different place. It's way back under and it's way up here. Way back under. It's built that way. Every time I'm around here, there's something else. I can tell you, it doesn't matter if we get carpet on the floor. It doesn't matter if we get lights hanging down. But what does matter is that the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God will begin to flow like a river in the midst of us again. Say amen, church. He wants the power of God to flow in your life. That's what will grow our churches again. We must be a Pentecostal church. We must be a people that are what we say that we are. Say amen. People are sick to death of religion. Amen. In our city in Corpus Christi, there are several churches that have 500 or 600 people in them. There's no churches in our city that are 2,500, 5,000 people. There's none there. Amen. And I've often wondered why. And God said, because they've got so itchy, amen, to go here and to go there, that the devil has kept the Pentecostal church so splintered till it can't be any effective witness to anybody. Amen. Just split that thing so many splinters. Amen. And I said, Lord, why would you send me into a place like that? He said, because I even want Corpus Christi to have at least one witness of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I felt the weight of that statement lay on my shoulders. Do you know what that makes me understand? God's laid the burden of a true Pentecostal witness. I didn't say charismatic. I didn't say angel feathers. I didn't say gold tooth filling. I didn't say dust falling. I didn't say none of that. I was thinking about a Christ that'll take a sinner that is filthy, dirty, and rotten, and take red blood and wash him from head to toe, inside and out, and make him clean, white as snow, and fill him with an anointing that'll cause him to preach the gospel everywhere he goes. A faithful Pentecostal witness. Your job, by the way, your job, Pace Assembly, your job, Pastor Pope, your job, Brother Baker, your job, Brother Hinton, is to produce a Pentecostal church in the area where you are. Because I can tell you, in that area where you are, they're split and splintered just like they are where they are in my place. I'm tired of that. Let's get on one message and stay on message. And that message is the message of Pentecost. Pentecost. It's more than just preachers that need to do it. Amen. Church members, you say you're a Pentecostal church, you need to get full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no other thing for you to do. If you're saved, you need to be seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I just don't believe you got to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. I believe whatever keeps you from getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost just might keep you out of heaven. Come on, somebody. Amen. Whatever keeps you from speaking in tongues as God gives the utterance, whatever keeps you from living in that anointing of the Holy Ghost, whatever it is, it just might get in the way of your trip to the city. You won this? No, sir. But he said in the Word of God, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a command. Pentecostal people, get full of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. It was a supernatural church birth here. Amen. And it's got to be maintained by supernatural power. It can't be kept up by his charisma. It can't be kept up by the good singing or the good playing. That'll cause it to fall off quicker than anything. There's only one thing that makes a church alive, and that's the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Without the anointing, there is no preaching. Without the anointing, there is no singing. Amen. I can tell you, we got to understand what happened. They obeyed. That supernatural church birth, it came in the upper room. But the reason it came is because they were obedient. Jesus said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued. Go tarry in Jerusalem for 3 or 4 days, if that's all you can get off work. Oh, my. Go tarry in Jerusalem until you get tired, wore out. Then you go into the house and come back the next time they have a camp meeting. See if you can't get a little something then. Are y'all with me or not? Well, help me a little bit. Dear Lord, pulling this wagon, I can tell you right now. You don't help me pull this wagon to the top of the hill, you ain't riding on the way down, baby. Amen. They were obedient. They stayed in Jerusalem until they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of you get up here, oh, God, fill me right now. Amen. And God's saying, well, I want to take this out. And you're hollering, God, fill me. God's saying, would you listen to me? I want to get that mess out of your life so I can feel every fiber of your being. I don't want to just feel your mind. I don't want to just feel a little place in your heart. I want every bit of you. And when I get you all, I'll fill you all. He is in all and in us all. Amen. Lord of all, not Lord at all. Amen. The church must be a church, amen, born in the fire and continuing to stay in the fire. Amen. They came and they obeyed. They stayed in the upper room. And when they stayed there, finally, out of obedience after so many days, they were there about 10 days or so. They worshiped, they prayed, they meditated, they stayed in the presence of God. And suddenly, come on here, I believe God still works that way. I know for a fact he does. Amen. Suddenly, a wind blew in, and they all were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, would you send a wind in Bible way tonight and fill us all with the fullness? Come on here. Not just 2 or 3. We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. It still works that way. He meant about a month ago, maybe longer now, maybe about a month and a half, I suppose. On a Sunday night. Amen. We still believe Sunday night is camp meeting. We call it camp meeting service. Amen. That way, them turkeys that just want to come to Mass on Sunday morning won't come back and bother us. Come on here. Oh, God, I still got a bunch of Catholics down there. They like my preaching. They hear it on TV. They like to see the white man shout and spit. Oh, yeah. Amen. They come in the house of God. They come. They ask me, you going to be here next week for Mass? I said, just come on. I'm going to be here. I can tell you right now, as soon as I get out of the way and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them, they'll realize it ain't Mass. It's Pentecost that God wants to feed your soul. Oh, about a month and a half, 2 ago, on Sunday night camp meeting, we were there, and a little old Catholic girl. Amen. She came in. And then there was another one that just came in, had an altar fill, preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you'll preach on it, boys, you'll get some of them full of the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is preach on it, that's all. Because you don't feel them, he does. Say amen. Well, I don't know how to pray for him, but that's all right. There's some old lady in there that's been full of God for 50 years. She may have bony fingers, but when she puts a claw on them, I can tell you, they'll get prayed through. Come on now. It ain't all about you, Mr. High Britches. It's about him. It's about God and what he wants to do in his church. Preaching on the Holy Ghost. We had about 7 that night that were seeking the baptism for the first time. Oh, we got all of them that wants a double dose. They come in. Amen. Fall out. Get up. Yeah, we got some of that. Amen. We got some that just wants a blessing. We got some that likes to lay across the altar and weep and cry and leave puddles of tears on the altar. But there were 7 in that service that night. Amen. That wanted the genuine power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were in that service. I prayed for one. Amen. That little lady. She's a little Mexican lady. She's about this tall, amen, and she's about that big around, even sitting on that front row, begin to pray for her. All of a sudden the Holy Ghost came in her life. I thought she'd tear my pew up, amen. I was having a time, me and her shouting. Then her daughter got the baptism of the Holy Ghost a few minutes later, and then we begin to pray. There was more that wanted the Holy Ghost. I begin to pray for a young man. I felt God wanted to do something, amen. He said, the Lord instructed me, go get his grandma. Come on now. Grandma got a little walker sitting over there on that second row. Her one eye is completely blind and the other one wanders. Amen. She's looking everywhere, worshiping God, tears running down her face. God said, you go get his grandma. She don't even come to our church. Amen. Just started coming. Amen. Just a few months, just on and off. Amen. Just now really getting in there. But she's an old saint of God. Amen. Been serving the Lord long and I've been born. Amen. Went over and I said, ma'am, I want you to come pray for Frankie. He's seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She said, I'm coming, Pastor. Amen. She started rocking on that pew. Amen. Finally, she got a hold of that thing and pulled up. Amen. Got on that walker. And she was following me. I was trying to jerk her. She's like, I'm coming, Pastor. I'm coming. Amen. I was pulling her along. She wasn't going fast enough for me. I got her over there. Put that little hand up on his head. And when I did, the fire of God blowed in that place. Oh, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. But that ain't all. It blew across that front. And in 10 seconds, all 3 of the rest of them had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost like a wind. It blew in the house, and God will do it tonight if you'll let him do it. Be obedient, and God will fill you tonight with power from on high. Amen. If we're going to evangelize this world, we must be a church for the times. Amen. Oh, here we go. Seeker friendly. Let's put us a coffee shop out there in the front. Come on now. Let's don't preach on the blood no more. Let's take all the messages that we preach on sin and throw them out the window. We don't want to offend nobody. We want to be seeker friendly. They want to come to our church, amen, and just have a good time, amen, pay their tithe. We're going to leave them alone, and they're going to leave us alone. No, you got a social club with a kingpin for a pastor. Say amen. He won't preach on sin. Amen. You'll go to hell. You hear me? Amen. That church won't proclaim Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I can tell you that whole bunch will go to hell in a handbasket. Come on here. Oh, I told you about that wagon. You better get the pullings, all I got to say. Amen. If you think, amen, for one moment that God is pleased with us because we got 1,000, amen, or you think for one moment that God is impressed because you got 400 in your service, do you think that God is impressed with your numbers? Do you think he's impressed with your building? I can tell you, Solomon, he built that tabernacle, that temple. It was more costly than anything you and I will ever build. Had more gold, had more silver, but that thing fell to the ground. But the Pentecostal church is marching on. It's not about gold and silver. It's about the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. He wants the real power. power flowing in your life. God wants a real anointing in His Pentecostal church. He simply wants a church that can lay hands on the sick and watch them be healed in front of them. Come on here. Oh, you need to be what you say you are. He wants a church that when they come in sinful and nasty, they walk out free and covered by the blood of the Lamb. He wants a church that'll say, I'm going to live right, walk right. He wants a church when they're hungry for God, they leave out filled with that anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. If we're going to be a church for the times, we must be an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal church, tongue-talking, blood-bought preaching church. Amen? I was in a meeting just last week with our assistant general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, of the Crabtree. He walked up to me and Sister Pam in that room full of preachers. He said, man, you've run across paths before. I thought, duh, I drove your hide around in Pensacola, Florida when you came preach for us. You don't even remember me. I don't even like you no more. That's the kind of way they are, ain't they, Steve? He began to talk to us. He said that I'm going to preach tonight a message returning to Pentecost. I was absolutely shocked to hear that said out of the mouth of Brother Crabtree. Because usually that bunch is preaching. We need to just include them and we need to let them in. And whenever that, I'm not throwing stones at my denomination, my fellowship. But in 1993, this thing started turning toward charismatic. Come on, somebody. That's whenever they got in the office. We're going to reach out. We're going to include everybody. We're going to grow this thing. We're going to have the biggest denomination. We're going to have the biggest fellowship. We're going to have the most people. We're going to have the most money. And then they started that thing and it flopped. You know why? They started going after people and people alone instead of going after the heart of God and reaping a harvest. Amen. Not throwing stones at them because... Amen. With tears in his eyes, he said, we've got to get back to Pentecost. I thought to myself as I was sitting there listening to him, I thought, Lord, I'm so glad these guys are waking up. Amen. Because all of us pastors out here in the trenches, all of us know that when they stick Carmen down our throat, come on here. Oh, God help us. Amen. When in our Holy Spirit conferences, they get E.V. Hill, a Baptist, to preach to us about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They think we're stupid. Amen. We don't remember stuff like that. Amen. Whenever they said that we need to be full of the Holy Ghost, and yet they will endorse somebody else that says you don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're saying all that stuff. But you know what? Thank God somebody woke up. It wasn't me that turned the other way. It wasn't me that stopped preaching Pentecost. I'm thankful to God that we're waking up and we're realizing it's Jesus Christ, Him crucified, resurrected, and filling us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost again. I'm glad we're realizing it. Amen. And church, let me tell you, if it has got so bad that our leadership has smelled the stink, I can tell you, what has God thought of us? What has God thought about us? Amen. I can tell you, don't you fall into every wind of doctrine. Amen. Can I just get off just for a minute? I promise I'll come right back. Amen. We got to know who our heroes are in the faith. Listen to me, church people. Amen. The reason that God instructed me to preach like this, amen, plain and very, very simple this week, is because, listen to me, there's many of you that are baby Christians. How many in this place you've been saved 5 years or less? Hold up your hand. Listen, look, hold them up. all in here, in this church. That is in this church. Amen. They've been saved 5 years or less. And I can tell you that's still a baby. Amen. And that devil is going to blow every kind of heresy in this place. Hey, you better recognize who your heroes are. You better know who your people of influence are. Amen. Let me give you some good instruction. Amen. Don't look to TBN to tell you how to get to heaven. Come on here. Not casting stones at nobody, but your friend Paul Crouch has done paid $400,000, amen, because he's covering up some things that shouldn't have happened. Amen. I can tell you, friend, I don't want to follow a man that's got to pay somebody off to cover up his deeds. I want a man that receives the payment of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and is walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I got them in my church. They come tell me, oh, Pastor, you sound like Rod Parsley. I want to tell them, don't listen to Rod. Did you feel that, Steve? I thought you did. Your heroes, I can tell you, not everybody, but I can tell you if they don't believe in what this Bible says, if they contorted that thing and they'll make it sound so much like the real that if you don't know the difference, you'll be caught up in that web of deceit. That's the reason God has given you a hero. Come on, church members, you know who he is. You know what God thinks about your pastor? It doesn't matter what church you go to. Amen. Him that rules well, let him be worthy of double honor. That's what the Word of God says. You know what he thinks about those pastors of the seven churches in Asia? Amen. He says they are like stars in the heavens. Amen. God lifts them up like a hero. But you know what? We'll get on that television and we'll see some flip-flop turkey that preaches nothing and ask you to send him $100 and you'll send him every dime you got. And when you get back to the house of God, you treat your pastor like a floor sweeper. You treat your pastor like a yard cutter. You treat him like a boss. I can tell you, there's one hero that God gave to you. And it's that man of God that'll pray for your soul and seek God for your family. Oh, I promise after this I'll quit. Had a man that came to our church. I bought him groceries. Amen. I fed his family, took his baby's diapers, amen, and gave them to him, God, everything. Amen. You know what that turkey had the audacity to tell me? He said, Pastor, I was at home. I was listening to the TV. Amen. And Creflo Dollar, he came on and said, if you'll send me $100, God will bless you. He said, I scrapped up all. I'm talking about man couldn't even pay his rent. Amen. That ain't all he ain't paid. You pastors know what I'm talking about. I come bringing in sacks of groceries in that filthy house. Set them on the bar. Amen. Cleaning mess out of the way, trying to put it in the refrigerator. Moldy mess in there, nasty. I tell you what, you can be poor, but you ain't got to be nasty. That ain't even in the message, but that was good. Put them groceries down. He said, Pastor Creflo said, send him $100 and God would bless me. He said, and just 2 days ago, I put the check in the mail, envelope, put it in the mail, and look at here, you're already bringing me groceries. You know what I started to do? Give me my cornflakes back, baby. And when you get your and when you get yourself caught up in the hospital again with that broke leg you hobbling around on, you call old Creflo to come down there and pray for you. Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the real anointing of the Holy Ghost. I can tell you, a man of God, he'll pray for you, seek God's face, and preach the gospel. And his mandate is to get you to the city whose builder and maker is the Lord. He'll help you pay your rent. Come on here. When you get in a bad bind, he'll bring groceries over there. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, his eyes is stinging because he just went to bed at 2. Amen. You call him on the phone. Preacher, I need you to pray. Eyes burning. Don't even know where he's at hardly. He'll say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, heal this body. I'm telling you, that's who you need to look to for your influence as a baby church. Don't you go out to those devils. Don't you go after the world or even worldly preachers. You go after the man of God that he set in the house to preach over you. He watches for your soul. You treat him like a pastor and not some little old boy that's to clean the church. Say amen. Amen. We must also be a church triumphant. Give me just a few minutes. This is the last night. I'm giving you all the rest of the load. Amen. We must be a church triumphant. You're only triumphant one way. And that is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're only triumphant with that powerful anointing of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something. With that baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the third person of the Godhead, I can let you know something, mister. You're invincible. Amen. That devil can't kill you until God says he's ready to take you home. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to doubt because God Almighty has sent the one that will not only be with you, but he'll be in you to fulfill the purpose he set out for you to do. God will give you power. Acts 1 and 8 says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive. Come on now. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Power to live. Power to witness. Power to do the unthinkable because that anointing comes. I know some of these folks from Pace. Maybe you do here as well. Know a man named David Tarbert. He's a wonderful brother in the Lord. Years ago in the Philippine Islands. Amen. He's preaching. Some of you might have heard his testimony. I don't know. Amen. I heard his testimony on the CD. Amen. Sometime this past year. Amen. Listen to him. He's talking about being in the Philippine Islands as he was there preaching the gospel. He's hot and sweaty and thirsty. At the end of a service, two men walked up to him with a tray and had a little Sprite on that tray, and it was ice cold, water running down the side of it. He took that thing and drank it down. Amen. He was having himself a time. He's thirsty. Amen. Drank it down. A few minutes later, he got to tasting a metal taste in his mouth. He knew that something was wrong. He knew there was a problem. He knew there was something not right about that drink. All of a sudden he got the gag in his tongue, began to swell up on him. He knew that they had poisoned him. They had put arsenic in that drink. They wanted to kill that pastor, wanted to kill that man of God, wanted to kill that Holy Ghost. Come on here and help me preach. Wanting to kill him. Amen. They got him. The preachers he was preaching for in the Philippines took him over to a little old hotel, hole in the wall place, opened the door, and they threw him in that place. They scared he's going to die. They didn't know what they was going to do with a dead American preacher on their hands. What would they tell the government? What would they tell the people? Even how would they explain? So they threw him in a hotel, left him there to die. Even old David, he's laid on that floor, drug himself over to the nightstand, got a piece of paper, amen, and started trying to write, passing out and coming to, telling his wife. He said, if I die, you get this note. I want you to know one thing. God has not forsaken me. I'm in the hands of Almighty God. Amen. Going in and out of consciousness. Those pastors left him in there to die. Amen. Laying on that floor. Amen. He came to, Brother Hinton. Amen. He heard somebody rattling that door. He thought them preachers had got some nerve and they was coming back to check on him. That door, he's laying with his back to the door, too sick to move. His tongue swollen out of his mouth. Couldn't hardly breathe. That door wiggled a little and opened up. Shut in behind him. Amen. And him in the Philippines, he was the only folks. He's the only man from West Florida. And I can tell you, we folks around here in Lower Alabama, we all talk the same. Come on here. Amen. I've been down to Texas. And when I get down there, they say, where are you from? I say, L.A. Lower Alabama. Amen. We talked the same. He's in Philippines. There wasn't another one around. But that person came in that door. Amen. Closed the door behind him and kneeled down behind David. Put his knees in the small of his back. And in a West Florida vernacular, he said, David, I'm here. Everything's going to be fine. I can tell you, it wasn't Glenn Lowry. It wasn't those preachers from West Florida. It was the good Holy Ghost that had walked in the door. It's Christ, His Son, is there to protect. God will give you power when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on here. He began to talk to him. Amen. After a while, Brother Talbert said that he picked him up. He had pulled him, covers back, and picked him up and laid him on it. He said, I guess if you were in that room, you would have thought I was suspended in midair. Amen. He laid me on that bed, and he sat down on the foot of my bed. I can tell you, the Word of God says He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll go with you to the end of this world. Sat down on the foot of that bed. Said, David, tomorrow night when you preach the gospel... Come on, somebody. He thought he was dead. Thought he was a goner. They thought they'd poisoned him. But I can tell you, whenever he said that tomorrow night he's going to preach, I don't know how it's going to happen. Amen, Brother Travis, Sister Tina. The facts were he had drank arsenic and he was dead. But the truth is he's going to live because Christ has given him power. Laying on that bed. He said, when you come in that service tomorrow night to preach, there'll be a woman, amen, that's coming in, coughing up her lungs in a rag. He said, you'll lay hands on her, amen, and she's going to be all right. The next night, she's going to bring her entire family, and they're going to get saved. I can tell you, this gospel, whenever it's preached under the power, and that man is living under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I can tell you, no devil in hell can kill him. Don't you worry, Pastor, about them voting you out. Don't you worry about them holding their tithe. If they hold him tithe, God will take their job away, and they'll be begging you for something to eat. Come on here. Long as you're walking right, you're walking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God will make way for His plan to be fulfilled. Amen. He's laying there. And sometime in the night, even he drifted off. He woke up early that next morning. Hutadabas. For I'm no respecter of persons, saith the Lord. I don't love David any more than I love you. Don't you fear what the enemy has said to you. Don't you worry that I will forsake you. I am your God. I will not leave you. I will empower you to fulfill my purpose in your life. Harden not your heart. Trust not in another, but lean upon me, and I will bring it to pass, saith the Lord God. Would you lift up your hands and love the Lord? Come on, saints, love the Lord. Love the Lord. He's no respecter of persons. He called you, Pastor. He called you, saint of God. He'll perform it in your life. He let out a bull shundle up high. Stand with me. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeramoshika mandala bahaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother David awoke early the next morning. Those two Philippine pastors came and were knocking on the door. They were saying, Brother Talbert, Brother Tolbert, are you all right? Are you alive? Amen. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the old king that had not slept all night long. They had thrown old David in the lion's den, and he hollered in that lion's den. He said, "Old Daniel, did the God you serve continually keep you from the mouth of the lion?" And old Daniel hollered back. He said, "Old king, live forever! The angel of God has stood by me this night. I'm all right. There's power in the word of God." They knocked. "Brother Tom, are you all right?" He opened the door. He had already shaved. He said, "Let's go to church, boys." Walked in church that night. He was preaching 3/4 of the way through. That woman came with a red handkerchief. Even when she got to the front, it wasn't a red handkerchief. It was covered in blood. Even coughing up her lungs with tuberculosis. He laid hands on her and she was healed instantly. I can tell you, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you think, ask or think. The next night she brought her family and the entire family got saved. That church is evangelism. They don't want to just see if you can preach good or sing good, but can you get my baby off drugs? Can you help me get my marriage back together again? Come on now. My little girl that's run away with some freak, can you help me get her back? If we're going to be a church for the times, we're going to have to be a church that's full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you in this place have never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're tired of living without the power of God. You're tired of it. You're tired of being weak. Tired of being whipped down, beaten down. "Brother McDonald, I've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't even know how to do it. But I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight." Is that you? Slip up your hand. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. God sees your hand. There's others, I'm sure. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. There's three adults already that's seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, "Brother McDonald, I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I feel so weak. I feel like my anointing is just spent." I can tell you, if you hadn't had a fresh anointing today, it is already spent. Say, "Brother McDonald, I want not just to speak in tongues, but I want the power of God resting on my life. I've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I want a fresh anointing of power. I want to lay hands on a dead man and see him raised from the dead." Come on. You don't say that don't happen. Oh, yes, it does. God is not dead. He's yet alive. Brother McDonald, I want an anointing of power. How about it, saints? Is that you? I want you to step out. Those of you that's never had it, those of you that want an anointing of power, come stand around these altars. Come on. Right quick. Come on.
Bread of heaven.
Come on. Just begin to stand.
Feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup.
I don't want you to get in a hurry. I want you to know what you're doing around this place tonight. I don't want this to be an emotional thing. I felt something, so I wanted to get me something while I was in that hall. No, sir. I want you to make up your mind. Tonight, you're not leaving without a powerful anointing. Amen. Come in this altar. I want you to just begin to worship God. Pastors, I want you to come help me. Amen. Hallelujah. These preachers are going to begin to lay hands. Pastors, do this for me. Don't just touch them on the head and move on. I want you to spend some time with them. You that's never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to get right up close to this altar. You that wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time, move up close. Hallelujah. All right, pastors. Amen. Let's begin to pray. Move on in these altars. Hallelujah to God.
And make me whole. Lord, fill my cup, Lord.